starts. He's on my mind each day and each night, yeah. I find it hard to stay away. I know I'm gonna see him someday. Can say I love my Lord, I know he's gonna stay. Everything is gonna turn out fine. Everything is gonna turn out fine, yeah. Everything is gonna turn out fine, because Jesus is a good friend of mine. Oh yeah. Everything I try to do, I put my trust, sweet Lord, in you. Oh, oh, oh. Everything is gonna turn out fine. Everything is gonna turn out fine, yeah. Everything is gonna turn out fine, because Jesus is a good friend of mine. Oh yeah. Believe it, Jesus is a good friend of mine. Yeah. Good morning. Can you hear me? Yeah, it's so wonderful to be. I've been asked to do my testimony. And I know most of you have already heard my testimony, but it's so encouraging to others. We need to know it off by heart so we can tell others. You know, I know that you know this already, but I've just got to say this. I was in one of the top publishers in the country at the time, Dick James Music, many, many years ago. And I wrote songs. But when Jesus set me free from 20 years of alcoholism, yes, he set me free. I went in for prayer wondering when I was going to get my next drink. I came out from that prayer thinking, why did I ever drink a drop of alcohol in my life? It was that dramatic. The desire for alcohol taken away from me. When somebody tells me, oh, but you're a recovering alcoholic, I go, I just feel like Nottingham, because I can't help it, it's just me. I am not a recovering alcoholic. I'm recovered by the grace of God. Just one prayer. You know, he put arches back in my feet. I'll probably tell you that later. But I just want to sing a song and just the Lord gave me one of the first songs. I know the Lord gave me it because he was fed up with doing it himself. He gave me it instead. And it's a song, when I open my Bible as a born-again believer. How many of you can remember that first time when you opened your Bible as a born-again believer? Well, there's one of you anyway. Thank two. Like you see, I was of that generation when we were brought up to actually go to church. And we went to church on a Sunday, but all I can remember is when we stood up and sat down and stood up and sat down and stood up. Nobody ever told me that God loved me. Nobody ever told me that God had a plan for my life. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. He says, it's a plan for good. It's not for evil. It's a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. And nobody ever told me that. But when somebody set me free from alcohol, prayed for me and I was set free, and I went home and opened my Bible, it read completely different. completely different. I became alive inside. And I made a promise to God. I said, I'll never write another song for anybody else. Only you, Lord. I realized just how big he is. Do you know, he's massive. He made the heavens. He made the earth. He made everything. And he made you and me. But what's... And the other thing is, he loves me. He loves me with a passion. And when I realized how big he is, I said, you alone, our Lord, you made the heavens. You alone, our Lord, you made the seas. You alone gave life to everything that all surrounds me. And now I worship you. You are my Lord and my King. Oh, they're having a drink. It's all right. Can I have... Number four, please. Children to Jesus so that he would touch them and bless them. The people were bringing their children to Jesus so he could touch them. His men said to go, but Lord Jesus said no. He put his hands on all and blessed them, saying, bring me the children, don't keep them from me. Heaven is waiting for theirs, it will be. No one will enter the kingdom with just with the eyes of a child they do see. Bring me the children, don't keep them from me. Heaven is waiting for that. With the eyes of a child, he said, "Children, come and see the promises for you to be with me. Gather Jesus, I came not asking too many questions. I just said, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Here I am." Well, something new. It's something that Linda and I have been praying about for many, many years. I've been traveling this country and abroad, America and over the continent, and traveling, giving my testimony and preaching for, how long is it now, Linda? Over 20 years, isn't it? Over 20 years. And Linda's been at home looking after children. But now she doesn't have to sit at home looking after children. So what we're doing, we're going out together. We've got one child at home now. Stand up, Sarah. "Oh, I'm not a child," she says. "You're my child." And so I'm going to ask you to give Linda a big warm welcome when she comes on the stage. It's the first time she's... Not the first time on stage. We've been leading worship many times, but this is like a first for giving testimony. But before we do that, I want to get you involved in the song. Do you mind helping us out? Can you all say, "Oh Lord, I want you more"? Can you get ready with that track, fellas? Number 13, in a minute. I didn't hear anybody then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. "Oh Lord, I want you more." I was just about to say Linda's side's a lot louder than my side. That's because there's nobody here. So what we're going to have to do, you're going to have to sing twice as loud. 3, 4, 1. "Oh Lord, I want you more." Oh, come on. 3, 4, 1. All together, 3, 4, 1.
"Oh Lord, I want you more."
I want you to help us out when you hear the track now. Yeah. All right. We've lost track. That was it.
Hip hop.
That was it. That was it. Spit on it. If not, we'll go into the next one. We'll be all right. Just talk amongst yourselves. I just don't know where it's going to come on. You more. Ready. Oh Lord, I want you more. Oh Lord, I want you more. I know that you're not playing games with me. I don't want to give you second best. Lord, take all of me, yes, all of me. And my life be put to test. Well, shake my heart, my soul, my body to your will. When I'm weary, Lord, your love will keep me still. And I'll know signs and wonders, they will follow me. 'Cause that's what God says. Signs and wonders, they will follow me. 'Cause that's what God said. Signs and wonders, they will follow me. 'Cause that's what God said. Oh Lord, I want you more. Oh Lord, I want you more. Shape my heart, my soul, to be one with your spirit. As I seek your ways, your kingdom I'll inherit. I'll know signs and wonders, they will follow me. 'Cause that's what God said. Signs and wonders, they will follow me. 'Cause that's what God said. Signs and wonders. Your spirit, and as I seek your ways, your kingdom I'll inherit. I know signs and wonders, they will follow me. 'Cause that's what God said. Signs and wonders, they will follow me. 'Cause that's what God said. Signs and wonders, they will follow me. 'Cause that's what God said. Linda and I, 20 years ago, were involved in a revival, a refreshing up in Sunderland, and that's where we got married over 20 years ago. And a prophet said then we were trophies of God's grace, because we both come from broken lives. And that's what I believe that people need to hear in this new move of God that's coming. We know it's coming, don't we? We know the new move's coming. And it's not coming for big stars and for big people. It's coming for... It's a body ministry. Yes. It's a body ministry. And people have got to know that God's interested in broken lives, not just people that are perfect. Because if we were interested in people that were perfect, he wouldn't choose us, would he, love? No. All we've got for each other is love. Go on, love.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here. And it's a privilege. I really stand by the grace of God today, because my story is very interesting in a way, because I stand here saying I'm not a perfect person. We're all born young and little, aren't we, and beautiful. And sometimes we make detours. But I really do believe that the body of Christ, and people need to know today, that even though you might fall, you can get back up again. Amen. The Bible is full of scripture about that. And before I begin, I want to share just a few. In Proverbs 24:16, it says, "For a just man or woman falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Job 5:19, God says he will rescue you from six calamities. No harm will touch you in seven. Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him or her from harm, from them all." Amen. These are beautiful, aren't they? And Psalm 37:24, "Though he or she falls, sure he will not be overwhelmed, for the Lord is holding his or her hand." Amen. Now, we all love the success stories, but we all have people in our families, or if not ourselves, who have actually fallen, made mistakes in the house of God, but yet got back up again, just like I've read these scriptures, and gone on with the Lord. Isn't that right? And I think we need to know in this day and age that, you know what, you can come with warts and all, especially the youth of this generation, because they've not been taught like we were in Sunday school. They know nothing, don't they? Living together's the norm. Drug taking's the norm. Getting drunk's the norm. They think it's okay because they don't know the word of God. But you know, God specialises in bringing people round back to where they need to be, even when they come to Christ, because many times we make mistakes. John and I's life are very similar, excuse me, in many ways. We both were born in Leeds, and even though John was born 8 years before me, and I had my great grandfather was into music, and he used to sing on the front lines for the army. He had a beautiful singing voice, and so music and singing and dancing was brought into the family by my grandmother. She loved anything like that, and I did. It just came into me, and I just loved it as well. And I grew up with parents who did not go to church. But I did have a good childhood, and so I went to dance classes, of course, because I loved anything to do with singing and dancing and acting. And consequently, as I was growing up, my claim to fame is I went on Junior Showtime twice. I don't even think any of you will know what it is. But Rajesh Yates produced it, and I had some great times growing up. I had a lovely, lovely times. And at 15, I became a Christian. And the first impact I knew from having Jesus in my heart, asking the Lord to come into my life and change me, was that I was actually happy at school. Because I hated school. I hated it with a venom. I just didn't want to be there. But when I got Jesus Christ in my heart, I started to get really happy from inside. It was like, oh, this is just feels really, it's kind of not me. It's almost like God in me. And I was carefree and I was happy. And I knew that it was a sign that God had come into my life because he really did change me. And people noticed that. Well, I left school and I got a good job in the civil service. And I was there 3 years. But all the time, I knew I had some sort of call in my life. I could feel it in my heart. I knew that I had to go to Bible college. And my parents were a bit disgusted at that because they were, you know, not into that. They wanted me to continue up the ladder in my work because it was a very good job. But I decided, no, I just feel that God wants me to go to college. And I went to Bible college up in Scotland, right up in the Highlands. And I wasn't there long before I met somebody and we got engaged pretty quickly. But the relationship was very short-lived and I had a nervous breakdown afterwards. And it wasn't very nice and I made some really bad decisions during that time. And consequently, less than a year later, I married on the rebound. Have we only got anyone in your family who was like that, who's made mistakes? Or maybe relatives? And that was me. I felt as though I'd gone through a whirlwind of mistakes and problems. And my brother died in the middle of it. And my whole world seemed to cave in. The decision I made because I married this person, had a word from the Lord. Now I look back in my wisdom of years, but I didn't know it was at the time because this lady just came up to me. She was somebody in the church and she said, if you marry that man, talking about my ex-husband, you'll be divorced in 5 years. And I thought, silly woman, what's she talking about? I was only 20 at the time. And I thought, no, what's she talking about, you know? And I did get married. And John had a prophecy when he was 12 years old. So always listen to the word of the Lord if it comes to you. Because it could be a way to tell you, you know, don't go there. Or, don't do that. Or it might be a word of encouragement. But this one that John had when he was 12 from a Salvation Army captain, was it? He said, don't drink. It will destroy your life. He was only 12. And he didn't quite understand that either. And he went home to his dad and his dad wasn't in church. And he kind of said, yeah, I don't think they understand. You know, he sort of poo-pooed it off. In those ways, we made mistakes. And we don't often hear these things in church. But you know what? They're good to know. Because it's better to be able to tell somebody rather than let them fall. Okay? It's better to let you know that Jesus loves you. God loves you and he doesn't want you to make mistakes in life. And if you do make mistakes, those scriptures that I read at the beginning just show you that he picks you up. If you love him, and you want to repent from what's happened, why you've fallen. And if you change your change of heart, and if you come back right, he'll pick you up and you'll go on again. Amen. I'm sure there's things in all our lives where we think, wish I'd never gone there. But you know what? He loves us. And he wants us to change. And he does love us with an everlasting love. And that's one scripture that God gave me when I was brokenhearted. But God gave me a scripture and it was, I've loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness, I have drawn you to me. And I thought, wow, Jesus, you love me. You know, you do tend to get a lot of condemnation settle on your head when you make mistakes. But you know, Jesus doesn't condemn because his blood was shed. His real blood was shed so that you could get back up again. Amen. Even Christians, even ministers. God loves us. The extent that God loves us is overwhelming. Sometimes the church can't handle it if they see someone fall, and pointing the finger comes. But you know what it says in Isaiah 58? Do not point the finger. You pull away the pointing of the finger, okay, and you pray for anyone who's been fallen captive to anything or been broken, because we would want our own children to be restored, wouldn't we? And that's what happened with the father and the prodigal son. All he did was look for his son coming back, knowing what his son was like, knowing the lifestyle he would live, because he obviously saw he was wayward. Would we be the ones that would be the gossipers in the background around the village where he lived and said, have you heard of so-and-so? Took all that money, ran off, spent it all, prostitutes, wild living. Would we be one of those? Or would we be like the father who loved his son so much that he used to watch every day to see if he was coming down the road? That's how much God loves us, even when we make a mistake. That's how much he loves us. So yeah, let's learn and be like the Father. When somebody falls, please, Father, restore them. Let them come back. Let them know you love them with an everlasting love. Amen. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's redemption. That's salvation. That's why Jesus bled on a cross, because he wanted millions to know him. So, even though all these things happened, the word of the Lord came true. Unfortunately, it came true. 5 years, God must have seen, because I didn't see what was in my ex-husband, and he wasn't, I don't like to say much, but he was from a children's home, and he wasn't developed in a lot of ways that you should be in, you know, taking care of people. And but God made him very successful in selling, but it all went to his head, fast cars, women, and wine, and off he went. And I had two children by then, he didn't provide anything till they grew up, nothing. So I was left to bring up my children on my own, and now I'd got another stigma. Oh dear me, Linda gone, and I had to deal with the fact that I was a single parent. Never thought I'd be a single parent. Never thought I'd end up as a single parent. But yeah, here I was, bringing up two children. But God bless me. God lifted me up again. And I ended up living in a really lovely part of Leeds, the best part of Leeds. And I ran a business. And it was a successful business. So I was prosperous as well. So God was pulling me up and lifting me up. And I was faithful to God, even though I'd fallen. I kept going to church, keeping my eye on the Lord, believing God to sort everything out. So he never leaves us, does he? He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. That's the Father heart of God. That's Jesus, and that's Holy Spirit. They never, never leave you. He never left me in all those down times. Yes, I remember crying on a night because I was lonely. But I remember saying, Jesus, Father God, I know you won't leave me like this. You won't leave me in this situation so lonely. And he hasn't, praise the Lord. But I know that the thing that you have to do, even if you fall, is stay faithful. Stay faithful to God in the hard times. And the word that God gave me is in the front of an old Bible. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Little did I know, I met John in church, that he would write a song. he didn't know, I told him this, that God had done this for me. And he wrote a song about everlasting love. Amen. So we're going to sing it right now.
I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again with a love that knows no end. I will build you up for my own sake, the city I will defend.
With an everlasting love, with an everlasting love, with an everlasting love, with a love that never ends.
You gave your life for me with an everlasting love. You created my destiny with a love that never ends. You chose me to be holy. To be holy and dearly loved with an an everlasting love, with a love that knows no end. With an everlasting love, with an everlasting love, with an everlasting love, with a love that knows no end. He loves us with an everlasting love that knows no end. You know, we're going to be here tonight. If you've got people in your family that need to know that he makes broken lives whole, they need to be here tonight to hear our stories. He makes broken lives whole. He put two people together that were broken, completely broken, and made us both whole, didn't he? And he gave me this song that I want you to stand and sing. It's called Love is the Key.
Love is the key. Love is the key. Though I speak with tongues of angels, love is the key.
All together. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're my Lord.
Father, we worship you. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory for every beautiful word of testimony that we've heard this morning to you. Testimonies towards you, Father God, and how wonderful and how great you are. And Father God, I want to take this opportunity as we close this service right now to pray for everyone in this place. Father God, if it's a healing to their body, Lord, we ask that healing would manifest from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, that faith would receive healing to those bodies in Jesus' wonderful name. And Father God, also Lord, that hope would be placed in each person here today. Hope for the future. Hope for the future to be all that you've called us to be, to do all that you've called us to do. And also, Father Lord, a realization for each one here that we're not defined by our failures, that there's no guilt or condemnation for us in Jesus Christ, and that your forgiveness has washed us and is washing us completely and utterly clean because of your lavish grace. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord. We swim in that beautiful grace today, so to speak, with thanks giving in our hearts. Lord, we worship and praise you. And Father God, then, we close this time of service now and ask that you would draw us this evening and cause us to invite others to come this evening and to hear more about your lavish grace and to hear more testimonies from our dear brother and sister. Father, with thanksgiving and praise, we close this time and thank you and praise you in Jesus our Lord. Amen.